I don't know what he did. But anyway, night church usually is at 7 o'clock, but now it's going to be in the afternoon, so you'll be able to be here, and we will be studying. You know, the Bible says, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. And we've been studying a book of the Bible. Now, we usually have the men, because men are to lead in preaching. Men are to be preachers. That's why I stand up here and preach. And we have the men help me sometimes Sunday night. I'll ask a question, and one of the men will raise their hand, and or the young men, and I'll ask them what it is. So we've been studying a book of the Bible. I've heard that it's good to always be studying a book of the Bible. Not just read the Bible, but study it, where you look up words, what the words mean, and you figure out what the verses are. So what book on Sunday night have we been studying? Raise your hand if you're one of the men. Help us out, and we get it. Bobby, do you know that?
Moses.
Well, I don't know about that, Bobby. I'm going to ask Matt.
Second Peter, sir.
Yeah, Second Peter is the book. So if you have your Bible with you, which is good to have, please turn to Second Peter. And does anybody know the theme of Second Peter? Maybe you don't know that, but what would be the theme? One of the men. Of the book of Second Peter. Now, it's something that we like to talk about. Jesse, do you know it? All right, listen. We do it in Vacation Bible School for the kids that are here, because we got kids here. It says, what's that song that goes, grow, grow, grow? Read your Bible, pray every day, pray every day, pray every day. Read your Bible, pray every day, and you'll grow, grow, grow. And you'll grow, grow, grow. And you'll grow, grow, grow. Read your Bible, pray every day, and you'll grow, grow, grow. But listen to the devil. Don't read your Bible. Don't pray every day. Pray every day. Pray every day. Don't read your Bible. Don't pray every day. And you'll shrink, shrink, shrink. And you'll shrink, shrink, shrink. And you'll shrink, shrink, shrink. Oh, I don't want to be that, but read your Bible, pray every day, and you'll grow, grow, grow. All right, you get the idea. So that's the theme of 2 Peter, grow in grace, and that's what we're supposed to be doing. And I want to say three things about that from 2 Peter chapter 1. We're going to look at verse 16 through verse 18. How are you going to grow and not shrink, all right? How are you going to grow? Now, the word for grow in knowledge. It's grow in grace and knowledge. So you need the grace of God to grow. You say, Pastor, what's the grace of God? It's the ability and the power that God gives to believers to go forward to get to know Jesus better and better. And unless you know Jesus as your Savior, you're not going to heaven. But not just that, you're supposed to get to know Jesus and His Word better and better every day. You should be growing in grace and knowledge. And how do you do that? Well, you grow in grace and knowledge. What kind of knowledge is it? There's two kinds of knowledge. One is a head knowledge, and the other is a knowledge that you get by experiencing Jesus in your life. Which one of those is it that we're to grow in? Is it head knowledge or experience Jesus in your life? Number one is head knowledge. How many vote for that? How many vote for number two? It's grow in your experience of, yeah, you're the right ones. Amen. All right, but you got to get to know the Bible to do that. So we're talking about growing in grace and knowledge, first of all, through the chosen eyewitnesses of Christ's powerful return. So go with me now to 2 Peter 1:16. I'll read it, you follow, and I'll actually read through verse, first just verse 16. Let me read that. It says, "For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of His majesty." Now listen to me. If you're going to grow to be a strong Christian, if you're going to get to know the Lord better, you have to know that Jesus Christ is going to come back. that when he came the first time and he died on that cross and they spit on him and they mocked him, they buried him, he rose again and ascended to heaven, that it's not over, that Jesus Christ is going to come back. You know, when he came the first time, whose blood, one of the men tell me, whose blood was spilled all over the place? Jesse? Jesus' blood. When he comes back the second time, one of the men tell me whose blood is going to be all over the place. Yeah, Joe? Whose blood is going to be spilled all over the place? Yes. His enemy's blood. You see, you're either on the Lord's side or you're not. You're either saved or you're not. You can't be in the middle. You can't be like Pontius Pilate. Remember that guy? He said, well, I hand him over to be crucified, but I wash my hands of it. No, you either accept him as your Savior and stand for him, or you don't. And when he comes back, the Bible says there's going to be a big fight. And that fight is going to be between God's people and Satan's people. And guess who's going to lose that fight at first? God's people. Because they're not going to take the mark. And they're not going to participate in the financial system. So they're not going to be able to buy food. They're not going to be able to enjoy the privileges of this world, you know. And they're going to be hunted and put in jail and everything else. But when Jesus comes back, he is going to crush his enemies like grapes are squashed under our feet. And the blood of the grapes comes out. And their blood is going to be so great, it's going to flow for 200 miles over at the Battle of Armageddon and be up to the as high as a horse's bridle, that blood, and it's going to spill all over there. And so the Bible says, Peter said, we actually saw him. Now, does one of the men know, according to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 17, it says in verses 1 through 8, who were the three apostles that actually saw the man Jesus and he turned into this glorious being? They saw his clothes turn white as light and it was shining and he looked glorious, and all that he was came out and it practically blinded them. I remember when I was a kid had a big mirror and the sun was shining on it and it blinded me and I couldn't even walk by that mirror. That's how it was to these apostles. And they saw his body and it was like, and he said, that's the way it's going to be when he comes back. Eli? John is one. James is two. And then one we're writing about. Peter is three. These three men God chose to see how Jesus would look when he comes back again. He's not going to look like he came the first time. He's going to be glorious. In fact, listen to me. The glory is going to be so great when he comes back. If you're here, it will shine all across the sky. It'll be like lightning. It'll light up everything. And you know what? When he comes back, every true believer that will look like every other human being. Human beings look alike. We're human beings. But if you're a true believer, when he comes back, you might be being beaten, you might be in jail, you might be persecuted, but all of a sudden your body's going to turn into this glorious shining body. And all of a sudden, he's going to send angels, and people will see the angels literally picking you up and taking you and flying you up to meet this shining being called Jesus the Christ. And that's how it's going to be at his second coming. In his first coming, no, it wasn't like that. He was in a stable. He was humble. But in his second coming, it's going to be with power. And that's what Peter, notice in verse 16, that's what he says. The majesty, his majesty, it's going to be majestic when he comes back and glorious when he comes back. Now, that is important that you know that is coming, because what will that help you to do? If times get worse, if people that believe in Jesus are persecuted, what will that help you to do? By the way, people that voted for Donald Trump, after he got cheated and thrown out of office, people tried to make him look stupid if you supported him. But now he's back. And now it's on the other foot. His supporters got put in jail. Now they're going to be put in jail. You watch. You watch. It's going to all turn. It's like a picture of the second coming now. It's all going to be different. Now it's, just watch, the next 4 years, get your popcorn out. It's all going to be different. But why do you think, my friends, knowing Jesus will come back with power and glory. Luke, why will that help believers during that time?
To watch and get ready.
Yeah, to stick with Jesus. Oh, it's hard right now. Yeah, we're in jail right now. Yeah, some of our friends are being killed right now. But wait a minute. Jesus is going to come back, and when he comes back, even if we're in jail, we're going to be lifted out of there. We're going to have our bodies changed. We're going to meet the Lord in the air. Everybody's going to see the glory of the Lord, and now the shoe is going to be on the other foot. Listen, now maybe it's not popular to be a Christian. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about what's popular. Listen, I read the last book of the Bible. And I read the last chapter. Guess who wins? Amen. Jesus wins. So I want to be on the winning team, don't you? I don't want to be on the losing team. And most of the people who are on the losing team, when Jesus comes back, they're going to be killed. They're going to be destroyed. They're going to be judged. I don't want to be there. That's what Peter's trying to say. This will help you to grow and go forward if you realize that the Lord is going to come back and it's going to be powerful. And Peter said, look, I can tell you this is real. I saw it. It's not a big made-up story. How many have had somebody make up a story? Yeah. I had this kid named Bobby Sterling. And when I was a little boy, I lived in Michigan near Bobby. And Bobby, I used to go to Bobby's house. Not that Bobby. But I went to Bobby's house, and he told me, how many have heard of Disneyland in California? He told me, yeah, I'm friends with the Mouseketeers. I know Annette. I know Dorothy. I know all these people. And I was like, oh, man, this is so... You are the coolest guy in the world. I was like, this guy, I wanted to hang around this guy. He was so cool. Bobby Sterling. I remember just, I was so high after talking to him. And he was like, I'll put in a good word for you with the musketeer. I was like, oh, man, that's cool. And so then I went home and told my parents, and they started laughing. They said, no, that guy, he's lying to you. He's lying. He doesn't know these people. I was like, you got to be kidding me. And that's what Peter's saying here. You know, a lot of people will lie to you. He said, we were not lying to you. We actually saw him. He actually, you know, how many used to, we got older kids in here. My wife believed in him until she was in sixth grade. So we should be fifth grade and above here. How many believed in Santa Claus when they were young? All right. My wife, when she was sixth grade, she still believed. But anyway, people, they make up these stories, make you feel better, right? About Santa Claus and all of these things. This is not Santa Claus. This is not some kid's story to make you feel better. This is fact. This is real. And that's what Peter's saying. He's saying, we were eyewitnesses. Now, if you go into court, I've gone into court before. One time, I was on the highway, and I saw this local boxer, and he had road rage, and this guy passed him, and he didn't like it, and they both pulled off, and the guy was trying to explain himself. The local boxer came up, and he goes, bang, like that, knocked the guy out, one punch. The guy's laying on the ground, he goes, broke his leg. And I witnessed it, because I was way up the road, but I saw it, and I looked at the boxer. I knew the boxer, because I follow boxing. State police came. They said, did you see that? I said, yeah, I saw it. The guy pulled off. We can't get him. I said, I know who it is. So they arrested him later on. He was I could call his name. You'd probably know him. He's a local boxer. Anyway, he dressed in all this nice clothes, a suit and a tie. It was all fixed up. But I was in court. And the reason why they listened to me is I was an eyewitness. I actually saw him knock that guy out and break his leg. And I go, they said, can you identify him in court? And I said, yeah, right there. I pointed him out. I said, right there. I said, man, he knocked him out with one punch. I said, it was a punch. And he had to pay a lot of money, right? He had to pay a lot of money for that guy missing work and everything. And I'm saying to you, listen to the eyewitnesses. In court, if you say, oh, I know somebody who saw somebody get knocked out. That they're not going to receive that. The judges say, that's hearsay. I'm not going to take that. It has to be an eyewitness. Peter was an eyewitness. And so you could take him at his word. James and John, they're the apostles of the Lord. But I want to say, if you want to grow in grace, take the eyewitness accounts and live your life based on the Word of God. But secondly, you can grow through the Bible prophecies we have. Look with me at verse 19. He says in verse 19, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star rise in your heart. He's saying, if you want to grow, listen, and get to know Jesus better, it's great that you have eyewitnesses and they can tell you what they saw. But he said, Peter said, we've got something better. We have the prophecies that are written down in the Bible, and you need to take heed to those things. Now, let's say you're in a dark warehouse, and it's really dark. It's at midnight, and you're in that warehouse. There's a lot of stuff in that warehouse. And you have to get out of that warehouse because there are people coming in there that are not good people. What would you need? One of the men tell me, if it's midnight and it's dark and there are no lights and you got to get out of that warehouse, what would help you get out of there? Jesse?
Praying.
Praying, all right. What physical would help you get out of there? Mike? A what?
Flashlight.
A flashlight. If you don't have a flashlight, you're going to bump into things, you're going to hurt your shins, you're going to hurt your body. You need to have a flashlight. And that's what he says Bible prophecy is. Bible prophecy is like a flashlight, like on my cell phone, I have flashlight, right? You probably do too. You push it and you can light up things. So he's saying that the Bible right here has prophecies about Jesus coming back that will help you, and they are like a light in a dark place that they'll get you from where you are to live your life and prepare for the Lord to come back. You say, well, is it always going to be dark? Notice it says until the day dawn and the day star rise in your heart. Anybody know what the day dawn is? Right now we're living in a dark time. Right now you need the light of the Word of God. Hey, I'm preaching to you. See how I have this light? If I didn't have this light, I couldn't see my Bible. I need this light to see my Bible. Right now you need your Bible that is like a light so that you can see your way in life, so that you can do the right things in life. You can make the right decisions in life. You can grow spiritually and get to know what the Lord wants for you. God doesn't... Hey, by the way, some of you boys, you look like girls. You know that? You say, Pastor, what's wrong with that? How can you say that? The Bible says in Revelation 9 that men have hair like women. Angels have hair like women. You know what kind of angels they are? Wicked angels. They have hair like women. And it says in 1 Corinthians 11, listen to me, it's a shame for a man to have long hair. You got hair falling down over your ears, falling down over your back. It's a shame. You look like a woman. I mean, I was embarrassed the other day. I saw a young person, and I do this all the time. I say, oh, isn't she cute? It's a he. And I feel real embarrassed. But really, you should be embarrassed. If I call you a she, I mean, Trump is talking about getting men out of women's sports. How many are for that? Getting men out of women's sports. Amen. But I'm for getting men out of women's hair. And I don't mean putting their hands in their hair, but I'm talking about getting men out of women's hair. I mean, if you got hair as long as a Wilda Rodriguez and you're a man, you got a problem. You say, where do you get that? In the Bible. You see, the Bible makes things light for you. It gives you understanding of what God wants in your life. So get a haircut where it's neat, it's trim, it's a man's haircut if you're a man, because it's a shame for you to have long hair, the Bible says. In other words, the Bible is a light. It will lead you through this world, listen to me, so you'll make good decisions. Now, if you're not saved, I don't expect you to care what I'm preaching on this. But if you're saved, guess what? You have the flashlight. Say, who's the flashlight? Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit of Jesus. And you've got the flashlight, you got the battery in the light, and you've got power in your life, and so you want to live your life according to the Word of God. The Bible says that the Word of God is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I am so glad I have the Word of God. That's why when you come to church, hear the Word of God. That's good. You should come Sunday morning, and if you can get out for night church, get out for night church. Some of you guys, we got rides to church. Get that ride and get out there. Go to night church. Get there for Wednesday. Get the Word of God in your life. And it's a blessing. And if you can get in a Christian school, get in a Christian school where they have chapel once a week, Bible every day. I'm saying get into the Word of God. It'll make a difference in your life. And let me tell you, the Word of God helped me to know the right kind of woman to marry. You know, some people, they don't even know how to get married. You ever hear of two men getting married? Boy, that is gross. Can you imagine two hairy leg men getting married? That is so gross. But it's going on today. What's wrong? The light is off. They can't see. They're blind. And they're in the darkness. But Peter said, listen, we were eyewitnesses. We were right there. We saw Jesus. He said, but you got something better. You said, what's that? You got the Bible, man. And this was written so that you would have a light in a dark place. And there are all kinds of prophecies in the Bible. Now, I want to talk to some of you that are Trump supporters. And you say, man, I was watching for prophecy, but this is like a day of the Lord. This is like God's judgment coming down on the evil over America. And you'd be right. But now no Bible prophecies can be coming to pass because it's already been fulfilled. Oh, no, you don't understand. The Bible has all these prophecies about the last 7 years when Jesus comes back during the last 7 years. And we're not there yet. We haven't gotten there yet. We're moving closer, but we haven't gotten there. You say, but now Trump's elected, it pushes it back, right? Not necessarily. Listen to me. When Donald Trump is in there, certain Bible prophecies can be put in place. Certain furniture can be moved around behind the curtain. So when God lifts the curtain on the last 7 years, Trump helped to get it in place. Amen. I saw somebody, you know this is true, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 says, before Jesus comes back, what has to be rebuilt? There's a lot of things, but in 2 Thessalonians 2, one of the men, listen up here, before Sarge? The temple in Jerusalem. I saw a picture of the Mosque of Omar, and on it is written Trump Towers. Now you say, what are you talking about? Trump talked about going into Gaza and blowing up all the mines that are there and leveling all the buildings that are there. You say, what prophecy does that fulfill? It could fulfill Zephaniah 2, 4 through 7. Israel started to make that area of Gaza like a place of destruction for the enemies of Israel. But the Bible says in Zephaniah 2, it's going to be just like uninhabited for a while. Listen, uninhabited for a while. That may take 10 years before they can rebuild. 15 years. If Trump gets that level, that could help to fulfill that prophecy. I'm not saying it is, but it could. And there are other prophecies. You know, Trump is threatening Iran. And he says, either you give up your nuclear weapon or we're gonna put hurting on you, sanctions on you. But the Bible says there's going to be a great attack. Listen to me, in Jeremiah 49, where some bombers are going to bomb those nuclear sites. And the whole country of Iran is going to be filled with, we believe, nuclear fallout. And people are going to leave that. That's Jeremiah 49, 34 through 39. That could happen under Donald Trump. I'm not saying it will, but it could. I'm just saying to you, listen to me. If you know Bible prophecy, and we preached on these things, you will know from now until Jesus comes back when certain things are happening, and you'll know we're getting closer, and you'll be able to prepare for it. Why? Because you know the Bible, and you know Bible prophecy. And this church is a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church. We do preach about prophecy. Now, there's some churches that say, don't worry, there's no things that are going to happen before Jesus comes back. He could come back any second, any day, and there's nothing that needs to be fulfilled. That's wrong. There are prophecies that have to be fulfilled that lead up to Jesus. You know, Peter himself had a prophecy in his lifetime that Jesus would not come back before that prophecy was fulfilled. We've already talked about it last time. Does anybody, one of the men, know what prophecy did Peter have that had to happen before Jesus would come back when Peter was still alive? Eli? What's that, Eli? No, because that didn't happen in his lifetime. Yeah. That what? Who would have to die first?
Jesus.
Oh, Jesus would have to. No, I'm talking about after his death. After his death, not that. Eric?
If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me.
That's exactly right. He said to Peter, Peter said, what about John, Lord, after the Lord gave Peter this prophecy? He said, what about my friend John? He was his best friend. He was another apostle. He said, what if I want him to tarry or stay here till I come back? What's that to you, Peter? Don't worry about it. You just follow me. Well, what was the prophecy then? And Eric knows it, but what was the prophecy that that Jesus just gave Peter that had to be fulfilled before Jesus came back?
You're going to die upside down before I come back.
Yeah. He said, somebody's going to take you and carry you where you don't want to go. And that was a prophecy. Peter was carried and put on a cross. And when they're going to crucify Peter, they were going to crucify him like Jesus. He said, I'm not worthy to be crucified like Jesus. Turn me upside down. And they turned him upside down. They crucified him. And he died. And Peter writes in this book, he said, that's got to happen. I'm going to die before Jesus comes back. Well, there's a prophecy right there in his lifetime he had to watch for. And we have to watch for certain prophecies that are going to happen. Do you know there's going to be another big war in the Middle East? And Israel's going to win that war. Psalm 83, Isaiah 17 verses 1 and 9. Do you know Damascus, Syria, the whole city is going to be blown up and never be inhabited again? That's in there. That's going to happen before Jesus comes back. And Iran is going to have a nuclear disaster from planes bombing their nuclear sites. That's in Jeremiah 49. All these prophecies are in there so that we can know from now till Jesus comes back that there are things that are happening and we can watch for Jesus to come back. That will help you to grow to get to know Jesus better. By the way, when it says here that we get to know the power and the coming of the Lord Jesus, he says in verse 16, for we have not followed. For looks back at making sure that you are growing in the knowledge of the Lord. So when he comes back, you're not like, oh, I don't know Jesus very well. I know the names of all the movie stars. I know all of the sports stars. I know all the statistics in football, and I know all the statistics in baseball, and I know that, but I don't know much about my Bible. I don't know much about Jesus. No, he's saying in 2 Peter chapter 1, you better know these things so you're ready when Jesus comes back. And you have the eyewitness account of Peter that it's going to happen. You have the Bible prophecies telling you it's going to get near. And by the way, I think Eli said it already, but what is the super sign that we are living close to the time when Jesus will come back? It's the big sign that's already happened. What is it, Luke?
Israel was reinstated as a nation.
He's exactly right. Israel being restated as a nation. May 14, 1948, they became a nation. And so you can watch when Israel comes back. The Bible says Jesus is coming back. When Israel takes back Jerusalem, the old city, we're getting closer. That happened June 1967. When another thing that says we're getting closer, we haven't had this happen yet, when the temple is rebuilt. Could it be something will happen and that mosque is going to be blown up? So, and that we know there's going to be a big war, Bobby, in the Middle East, where the Sunni Arab nations are going to all try to fight. Could that be when the temple is blown up? Could be. And then rebuilt. I'm just saying to you, hey, thank God Trump is in there. Thank God good things are happening. Don't stop watching for this light of the Bible to be fulfilled. And make sure you're not ignorant of these things. There's one more thing that will help you grow, and then we're done. And that is in verse 20 and 21. And let me read that. You look at it, 2 Peter 1. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And what Peter's saying here is, if you're going to understand Bible prophecy, you've got to understand how to interpret the Bible. And you say, well, Pastor, how do we interpret the Bible? First of all, you interpret it literally. You know, I hear people say this all the time. The United States is Babylon, Revelation 17 and 18. Can I say something to you? United States is United States. Babylon is Babylon. Before Jesus comes back, you watch, Babylon will be rebuilt. Hey, that could happen while Trump's president. You know, he helped get the Abraham Accord signed. That's bringing great wealth to the Arab nation in the Middle East. Israel, I believe, will be one of the richest nations in the earth. Possibly the United States, too, because we're a friend of Israel. But listen, he's saying that a city, a great city, is going to be like the financial capital of the world, and it's going to be Babylon. Unfortunately, it's going to be the head of the Jewish Antichrist, and they're going to use it to give the mark of the beast, and it's going to turn bad. Now you say, hey, good people are bringing us technology like Elon Musk, or good people like President Trump are doing things over in Israel. Does that mean if Trump helps rebuild the temple, does that mean that he's the beast or the Antichrist? No. It just means those things that they may do will be taken over by the beast and the globalists when they come to power. Don't get confused by that when people say that. Even if the temple is rebuilt and they're offering sacrifices, that doesn't mean the last 7 years has started. The last 7 years don't start until the head of the European Union or a leader in the European Union that's rising to power takes Israel under its wing, and they become under the power of Europe. And that will all begin the 70th week, Isaiah 28, 15 and 18. So it's important, listen to me, to interpret the Bible literally. Right. Interpret it historically. What Babylon was in history, a world-ruling empire, Genesis 10, it will be in Revelation. Historically, you got to understand a little bit about history. That's why you should do your homework in school. Be a good student. Study historically, grammatically, you got to know grammar. Mrs. Bloom teaches English. Know your grammar. Grammatically, historically, contextually. You got to know the verses around it. That's why right now we're studying a book. We're looking at the verses before, the verse that. People are ignorant of the Bible. They're ignorant of studying the Bible. They don't know how to interpret the Bible. You interpret it literally, historically, grammatically, contextually. I know those are big words, but I'm just saying that the Bible makes plain sense. And when it makes plain sense, don't seek some other sense. Just understand what the Bible is saying. And God wants you to do that. If you do that, it will help you to grow, to get to know the Lord better. Because you know what? The Lord is never going to do something against this Bible.
That's right.
The Lord is never going to lead you against this Bible. You know, there are people that say, oh, God showed me in a dream or a vision or this or that. If it's contrary to this Bible, do not listen to that. What we need to know God's will and to know God and to grow is we need to know the Bible. First of all, through chosen eyewitnesses, the apostles who wrote the New Testament or supervised it. Number two, through the Bible prophecies that we have. And number three, through the proper interpreting of the Bible and Bible prophecy. Thank God. There's no excuse, Brother Joe. You say it all the time. No excuse why you should be a baby Christian all your life. Why you should be a some thumb-sucking, bedwetting baby believer. No, you should grow up and mature. And you be able to live for God. You shouldn't have, after you've been saved 2-3 years and have your hair, and a man have long hair, or a woman have like a butch cut. You ever seen the women with a butch cut? They look like a boy. That Rachel Maddow, she gets more and more like that. That's not right either. Don't follow those people. Follow the Lord. Amen. All right, let's bow for prayer. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I wonder today, you say, preacher, I got some decisions to make for God. Maybe I need to